From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you, and thank you for joining us for another edition of Let the Bible Speak. In today's program, we're going to continue with my message from Psalm 138, verse 1, on 100% Christians. I hope you'll remember that this week we're making a special offer of a cassette tape or CD of Dr. Edward Panosian's presentation of the life of Martin Luther, the great German reformer who started out as an Augustinian monk. He's called often the monk who shook the world, a man who was used of God to awaken Europe and through it the world to the gospel after the darkness of the long medieval night. There's no one better qualified or suited than Dr. Panosian to tell us this thrilling story. So I hope you'll write for your cassette or CD to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or if you wish to email, you can email us at ltbs@freepres.org. And now, here's a cheerful song to start your day. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit.
We live in strange days. Just months after 9/11, some California school children were given Islam simulation materials to teach them about Muslim culture and religion. The 12-year-olds in Excelsior Elementary School were placed in Islamic city groups, took Muslim names, and wore them on identification tags that displayed the Muslim symbol of the star and the crescent moon. The materials that the school gave them instructed them to remember Allah always so that you may prosper. The children completed Islam's five pillars of faith, including fasting. They memorized and recited the Bismillah, or in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, which they also wrote on banners that were hung on classroom walls. As part of the school's World History and Geography program, the children were required to play jihad games. All this in the shadow of 9/11, when fanatical Muslims carried their jihad to New York and Washington to murder thousands of Americans. When the school and the school district were challenged in federal district court, Judge Phyllis Hamilton ruled in their favor. She ruled that the school was not indoctrinating the students, but merely teaching them about the Muslim religion. Amazing. One would have thought that while providing information may pass as teaching, the antics of the school in having students take on a Muslim persona and engage in Muslim jihad games and Muslim religious practices went beyond that and indeed became indoctrination, if not even attempted proselytizing. More amazing is the fact that the judge declared all this legal in a land where a teacher would be in deep trouble if he were to have his class read the Bible and utter a prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Currently, the case is set to go before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 9th District in San Francisco. You know what this teaches you? Well, according to some, it shows that all who call themselves Christian, whatever their stripe, need to form a united Christian front in the face of the challenges from secularism and from Islam. But that's not the lesson. To do that is to compound the problem, joining forces with false and apostate religion and recognizing it as Christian will never further the cause of truth. The lesson we need to learn is that Bible-believing Christians, and there's really no other kind of Christian, need more than ever to be faithful to the gospel, to spread it with passion, to stand boldly in its cause, and to pray through to their God for a genuine scriptural revival that will sweep this nation. Surely we can say with the psalmist, "It is time, O Lord, for thee to work, for they have made void thy law." And now before we return to Faith Free Presbyterian Church's Sabbath morning service for the message on Psalm 138 verse 1, let's hear from the Whitfield Young People's Choir from Northern Ireland singing, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow."
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
My thanks to the Whitfield Youth Choir from Northern Ireland. And now it's time for us to turn to the Word of God, to Psalm 138, verse 1, where the psalmist David says, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Our subject is 100% Christians. These messages were preached in my church in Greenville, South Carolina, for a number of weeks, and dealing with this first verse, we have now reached that part in which I'm making the point that the Lord demands of his people, and not only demands, but because of who he is and what he has done for us, deserves of his people nothing less than 100% devotion and commitment from us unto him. We are to worship and to serve him with the whole heart. Now, that's simply what it means. Let me make this comment, that this wholeheartedness is what the Lord desires of us. You remember the first and great commandment of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 6, quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment of the law. The words of Proverbs 23:26 are certainly applicable. If we put them in the mouth of our God toward each one of his children, he says, "My son, give me thine heart." Paul told servants or slaves in his day what they were to do and how they were to live. How much more is it applicable to us to serve, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart? Moses asks, "What does the Lord thy God require of thee?" In Deuteronomy 10 and 12. What does God require of thee? "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now, men and women, that's simple. At least to understand. That's what God requires. That's the desire, the yearning, and the command of God to all his people. 100% for Christ. That's what he's calling for. Let me make this remark, that's what the Lord deserves. Consider who he is. Now, we're mere worms of the dust. I mean, who are you? I don't want to be insulting to you, but if you died today, the world would never know you'd been here. Who are you? You look at this vast world with its billions of people. What do you amount to? Oh, in your eyes, your life may be very important, but as I say, if it were taken today, the world goes on. Then you look at this world in the vastness of this mighty universe of God's creation, and you really begin to see how small we really are. Then we think of the Lord. He is the God of glory. He's the creator of all that is. He is the upholder with the right hand of his power of all that is. He is the all-wise, the almighty, the king of angels, the Lord over all. Never forget how great God is. Should we worship him with less than our all? Remember, he's the one you need in the day of trial. There comes a time, you know, when your nearest and dearest on earth can be of no help to you. There comes a time when every earthly prop will be kicked away. The one you need in the trial is the Lord.
the hymn writer asked, is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts. Is there one? Yes. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. Let me tell you, when you consider who He is, He's worthy of your whole heart. Consider what He has done. We'll be meeting around the Lord's table this morning. There we will think of what He has done. Just take some of the great statements of Scripture. He has loved us. That's in, if the Bible didn't say it, it would be totally incredible. He has loved us. He, holy and absolutely perfect, has loved us, maggots on the dunghill of sin. He has loved us. He has given His Son to die for us, to shed His blood for us, to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify us unto Himself as His own peculiarly possessed people. Should we not love Him? Can you think of Calvary and say He deserves less than all your heart? Think of what He's still doing. He's ascended to the right hand of God. There's a statement that's so easily read over. Yet it's one of the most precious statements in the Word of God. The Lord thinketh on me. Put yourself in that verse, because if you're a Christian, you can. The Lord is thinking of me. Think of that. The God of glory, the King of all creation, the upholder of all this mighty universe, the one who is working out every detail in all of creation, He is thinking of me. Should I love Him with less than a whole heart? Can I possibly think of what He's doing? What He's doing in glory? What He's doing in my life? What He's doing on my behalf without giving Him my whole heart? Think of what He's going to do. For the best is yet to be for the child of God. We were singing this morning in that hymn of prayer, asking the Lord for the grace to bear the struggles of the soul. We have many a time looked at scriptures that draw our attention to those struggles. Now we see through a glass darkly. Now we are, as it were, in the in-between stage. We are still works under construction. We haven't yet reached the final goal. And along the way, there's many a heartache, many a struggle, many a trial, many a temptation. We were singing also about the Lord delivering us in that time of doubt, when the devil would inject doubt. Does the Lord love you? Is the Lord thinking about you? Because of the difficulties that you're suffering, it appears that your prayers go unanswered. Surely we need help in that. But the Lord is going to do great things for us. What is the end for a Christian? What's the end? What's the end of the story? Eternal glory. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's our present dignity. We are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see him as he is. And so, as Paul told the Thessalonians, shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the end of the story. Think of what he's going to do. Consider who he is. Consider what he's done. Consider what he is still doing. Consider what he's going to do. And as you consider him, is he not worthy of all your heart? The Lord challenged Judah on this. He questioned them. And if I may paraphrase the question, it's simply this. What have I done? What have I done that would cause you to live in covetousness? What have I done that would cause you to sink into idolatry? What have I done that would cause you to reduce the holy religion of divine revelation to a mere expression of empty words and hypocritical phrases? What have I done that has left you cold in heart, bitter in soul, defeated in spirit, and unclean and worldly? What have I done? The idea is, I'm worthy of your whole heart. Listen, if you can say with Thomas as you look at the Lord Jesus, my Lord, my Lord, my God, then surely, surely you must give him your whole heart. And that wholeheartedness is what the Lord will undoubtedly reward. We were reading this morning in Psalm 119 in verse 2, and that verse says, blessed are they that seek him with the whole heart. There is a blessing, there is a reward. You remember the case of Abram? After he had overcome the kings who had taken his nephew Lot into captivity, the king of Sodom came with rewards. It's always a very enticing thing for the people of God. I don't want to get into a theory of church history this morning, but there is a very prevalent theory, and I think a very plausible theory, that the real downfall of the Christian church came along in the early 4th century when the Roman emperor came, as it were, and he was offering all the gifts of Sodom. The church leaders bowed and they took all that he had to offer. And they started on a downward career that has led to a great apostasy. Abram made no such mistake. Abram said, you just keep what belongs to Sodom. He appeared to impoverish himself thereby. But then the Lord came in the very next chapter, chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 1, and he said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I want to tell you something. Nobody ever gave to the Lord without the Lord giving infinitely more in response. You can never outgive the Lord when you give him your whole heart. He makes a great promise. You'll find it in Jeremiah 32 and verse 41. I'll rejoice over them to do them good, and I'll plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. I think that's a good bargain for anybody. You give the Lord your whole heart, and he says, I'll bless you with my whole heart. You remember the words of our Lord Jesus 3 times in Matthew chapter 6. He said, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Your Father who sees your heart. Your Father who knows your heart. He'll reward you openly. He speaks of the day of his return and says in Revelation 22:12, my reward is with me. Men and women, that's the promise. He says, give me your heart, and I reward you richly. So I want us, therefore, this morning, as we come to the end of this service, just to take simple heed. Let me leave with you a couple of scriptures. Back in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 7, we have a text that is certainly applicable to every believer. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. That's the promise. Take the words of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Simply do it with your whole heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's broadcast. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to inquire further about the Free Presbyterian Church, comment on the program, receive our full-color quarterly magazine, and especially if you'd like to receive my booklet, A New Beginning, to show you how to be saved and sure you're saved, we would welcome your correspondence. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We invite you to visit us also at our website, freepres.org, where you may listen to and download sermons from a number of our ministers. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll make sure to join us each morning, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, as we Let the Bible Speak.